Brother Donald would say, hold on, put your seatbelt on. Genesis chapter 3, when you get there, let's stand. Let me ask you a question. This is not a rhetorical question. I'm serious. How many fought the devil this week? I want to preach a little while on the truth about the devil. Genesis chapter 3, we very familiar scripture. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Let's pray. God, we love you. God, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the songs, for those on the altar, for the worship and the praise, God. God, we thank you, Lord, that we got someone to call on, Lord, in a time of need. Lord, we thank you, God, that we can feel your presence, God, when we come to your house, Lord. God, we just thank you for all these things, God. Lord, and I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us right now. Lord, as we get into your word, God, I pray, God, you'd open our eyes to some things today, God. Lord, help us to realize, God, Lord, we have a real enemy. And God, whatever's done today, help us to honor you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles there means cunning devices. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. David said something in Sunday school, and he found out some things that he never thought about before. I found out some things this week studying this that I never thought about before. The word devil is only used in the, Satan is never used in the New Testament. Only the word devil, and that's the accuser. That's what he does. That's what he does, amen? I found this. The devil is not an impersonal. Is not impersonal like stones or bureaucracies. He is a non-person. The devil has become all that God is not. He is not beyond personality. He is without it. His purpose in creation is not to destroy God. He knows that he cannot do that. He wants to draw us into the vortex of non-personhood that he has become and the nothingness of non-being that he has become. Satan, in short, aims to take as many of us with him as he can. That's his goal. Number one, the devil's real. The devil's real. See, that's the problem. I won't ever forget when I got saved. I went back and I was talking to my brother. Most of y'all know my brother. He's got saved now, and he don't think like this anymore. But at that time, I asked him, I said something about Satan and demons. He said, oh, I don't believe in that stuff. I said, you better believe in it because it's real. Think about this, and all throughout the Old Testament, we hear about Satan, and we hear about things like that very little bit. But when God himself comes down in human form in the New Testament, it shakes up the devil's world. That's when we start hearing about demon possession. That's when we start hearing about Jesus casting out demons. So the devil is real. From Genesis to Revelation, we see Satan and his demons working against God and the children of God. He fought Adam and Eve. He fought King David in 1 Chronicles 21. He fought Job in Job 1 and 2. He fought Joshua the high priest in Zechariah chapter 3. Everything you and I go through, everything you and I fight, understand something. If he fought Jesus, don't you think he's going to fight you? He fought Peter in Luke 22. He fought Judas, and Judas walked with Jesus every day. He destroyed Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. He fought the Apostle Paul all his life. He's still the same today, maybe even stronger. Listen to this. There was a missionary that got on a plane. He noticed a man sitting there a couple seats over. He was thumbing through some cards and moving his lips. And the man looked very professional, had on a suit and everything, had a goatee that was gray and had brown hair. He looked at him and said, probably about 50-something years old, maybe. Thinking he was a fellow believer and that he was praying, he leaned over and engaged in conversation with him. Just what he said, looks to me like you're memorizing something. He said, no, actually, I'm praying, the man said. He introduced himself. He said, I believe in prayer too. He said, well, I have a specific assignment, said the man with the goatee. What is that? I'm praying for the downfall of Christian pastors. He said, I would certainly fit into that category. Is my name on your list? The guy said, no, not your name's not on my list. Folks, it's real. It's real. I'll never forget. I was pumping gas, David, next door. This girl got out of the car. She had some tattoos on her body, and I had no idea. I didn't even pay no attention. Had another young preacher with me. This has probably been 10 years ago. He said, that was a witch. I said, how you know? He said, I could tell by the tattoos. Had a young man that I used to go to church with. I told this story to somebody just a few days ago. My wife's going to know who I'm talking about. Not going to call his name. He was a tall, slender-built young man, had blonde hair. God called him to preach. He was doing great in church. He come to church one day and was telling some of us, Greg, he said, I had a dream the other night. I said, what was the dream? He said, I dreamed that I was looking out my back door. He said, and I could see Jesus. He said, I opened the door and I was running to him and he put his hand up and stopped me. And when he put his hand up and stopped me, he said, I stopped in my tracks. He said, and then Jesus looked to the right and motioned his hand like that. He said, and all of a sudden a train ran over me. Marvel know that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. See, a lot of times if we're not careful, we think that it's Jesus. But the Bible says, try the spirits. But Satan is real. Not only, now most everybody in here would agree to that. Satan is real. Yeah. Satan's relevant too. You understand this. Relevant, that word relevant means bearing upon or connected with a matter at hand. Some say that ain't got nothing to do with me. Yes, it's got everything to do with you. Because you raised your hand. If you've been fighting Satan, every one of us in here at some point this past week has fought the devil in some way, shape, or form. So don't think that he's not only after the preachers, he's after you. Right. Satan's either after you or he's already got you. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. The problem is we got people that come in and somebody asked this question a few weeks ago, and I can't remember who it was. And it was like in a text message, and they said, can a Christian be demon-possessed? Absolutely not. But a Christian can be demon-oppressed. Amen? Understand that. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6. Now listen, we very familiar scripture. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Satan is not only after the preachers. Satan is not only after these deacons. Satan is after you. Listen to this. Some of y'all might remember this. A Brooklyn company was sued by Nike over an unauthorized sale of a satanic shoe. How many's ever heard this? Some of y'all have heard this. An aftermarket sneaker that contains one drop of blood that was promoted by the rapper Lil Nas X agreed to accept the terms of the footwear settlement. The company is capital MSC HF will offer refunds to people who want to return the sneaker under the terms of the settlement. According to Nike, which the settlement, the very purpose of the voluntary recall, was to remove the shoes from circulation. The settlement came just weeks after a district court judge in Brooklyn granted Nike a temporary restraining order against that company. Now listen, capital M, capital S, capital C, capital H, capital F. It's pronounced mischief. A total of 666 pairs of shoes were produced by mischief. The company put one drop of blood in each pair of sneakers. Each pair sold for $1,018. And when they put them on the market, they sold out in less than a minute. Some of y'all probably heard this. A statue of Baphomet, which is a goat-human hybrid, which is a demonic entity, was commissioned by the Satanic Temple. It was unveiled in Detroit in 2015. It stands 8'5" tall, weighs over 300 pounds, and features a prominent pentagram as well as two small youths gazing up at the seated central feature. Petitions to display the piece on public grounds have resulted in arguments concerning from the separation of church and state. Production of the statue and its initial notoriety is featured in the documentary Hail Satan that came out in 2019. The piece was first publicly seen on July the 25th, 2015 at an event organized by the Satanic Temple. The 700 attendees had to agree to sell their soul to the devil to even be able to come to this. And you don't think it's after you? Oh, preacher, that's in Detroit. That ain't in Buford. Guess what? It's coming.
Yes, it is.
It's coming. Now, the reality of the devil, this same devil that I'm talking about, is after you. After you. How you mean, preacher? Well, Luke chapter 22, verse 31 says this. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. That's one person. He was after Peter.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? One person. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was a given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. That's one person. That's Paul. He's after one person. Understand something. If you're here tonight, today, and you're a Christian, you say you're a child of God, you have a bullseye on your chest. And every demon in hell, every devil in hell has that bullseye in his sights. And he wants to do his very best to destroy you. What good would the devil get? Well, everybody knows if the devil could get the preacher, if the devil can make the preacher mess up, then the church will fall. Well, if the devil can get one of our deacons to mess up, guess what? The church will fall. What's going to happen if the devil gets Greg? He'd destroy a family. What would happen if the devil would get Wes? It would destroy a family. So what happens if the devil gets Melvin? See, the problem is we look at this thing like it's out yonder. No, he's fighting you. He's after you. He's after individuals. Understand something. The Bible tells us that we have angels. Amen. We have angels that watch over us. Now, the Bible tells us also that was a third of the angels was cast out of heaven. That's the demonic spirits. Guess what? They're after you. Just as a side note, some of the mess we get into ain't Satan's fault. Amen. Some of it's our stupid fault. Amen. Some of it we bring on ourselves. Some of y'all need to quit acting like Flip Wilson saying the devil made me do it because the devil ain't had nothing to do with you doing some stupid stuff. But I'm telling you, he fights us. He's against us. Amen. Listen to this. The strategies of Satan with unbelievers. J.O. Sanders said this. What he does to fight unbelievers, he fights to blind the minds of the unregenerated. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He fights to snatch away the good seed of the word. Matthew chapter 13. He fights to lull the unbeliever into a false sense of security. Luke chapter 11. He lays snares for the unaware. 2 Timothy chapter 2. He masquerades as the angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He's deceiving those whose minds are not subject to the word of truth. In Revelation chapter 12, he's mixing truth with error, and that is destroying the church. So what is Satan doing to fight the Christian? He's trying to annihilate the church from within. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 6. That's what Satan's trying to do to the church. He's trying to violently persecute the church from without. Amen? We're seeing that in our lives today. He's trying to smother the witness of the church with great popularity. All the churches that you see is booming, all the churches that you like Elevation and all these things like that, let me tell you something, they ain't got no more God in them than I'm trying to be good. If it ain't about Jesus Christ and him crucified and you're not praising God and you're not listening and you're not living by this right here, you're not a church. That's what Satan is doing. He's trying to kill the witness. He's trying to disturb the unity of the church by sowing discord. Understand something. My enemy is not Brother Robert. My enemy is Satan. And what we got to do, we got to be able to see the enemy for what he is. That's what Satan is doing against the Christian. Satan has us, you, in his sights. Now let's look at one last thing, the book of Revelation and this devil. Y'all do realize we win. Amen. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 says this. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And understand something. We win if we hold on. The devil's going to fight. The devil's going to come against us if we hold on. Paul said, those that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Understand something. We need to do our very best today to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. I thought about it, you know. We're coming right now off probably the greatest, I don't know how to say this, parts of the year that our church goes through. I've told you this before. I mean, the Easter play is fantastic. We love it. That does as much for our church as any revival we've ever had. We're getting ready to go into a camp meeting at the end of this month. We're going to, Preacher Buddy C's coming. The Parson families are coming. We're going to have a great time. Amen? Amen. Don't you know the devil's going to fight you? Don't you know he's going to come against you? Because the devil don't want nobody to go to heaven. The devil don't want no church to prosper. Not no church that's doing what they're supposed to do. So let me ask you a question. How many's been fighting the devil this week? I ain't talking about stumping your toe in the house and fighting back saying a bad word. I'm talking about get up in the morning, and that joker's on your back. Get up in the morning, and he's all over you. You go to work, and the devil's in your mind. It seems like everything you try to do, nothing goes right. How many's ever felt like, I'm just going to throw up my hands and give up? That's what the devil wants you to do. That's what the devil gets in your mind and says, you know, you got all this going on, and you got all this going on at home. You got all this going on at church. You got all this going on at school. You got all this going on. You don't need to put up with that. That's how he works. That's how he works. Let me ask you a question. How many just need some help this morning? Because there's a real enemy. But glory to God, I got a big brother. His name is Jesus. I don't know, my mind just kind of went somewhere. I got a big brother. His name's Jesus. He's already whooped this coward. Amen. He's already beat the devil. He's already took him down one time. It's almost like, you know, when we were growing up, and some of y'all going to know what I'm talking about. I can't relate to this because I am the older brother. But some of y'all going to understand what I'm talking about. How when you was in school, you know, and somebody would pick on you. You go home and you start telling your older brother, and your older brother said, don't worry about it. I whooped his brother. I'll go whoop him. Amen. I'm telling you right now, you understand something. I got an older brother. His name is Jesus. He done beat the devil up one side and down the other. He done took the keys to his house. He done took the keys to everything he's got. Hey, I read a little story the other day. It said this young man worked at a zoo, and this guy was watching him, David. He was at the zoo watching this guy. This guy opened up the cage to the lion. He walks in, and he was sleeping on the other side of the cage in the lion's den. He said, I'm going to watch, see what it does, because all he had was a broom. He didn't have nothing else, Greg, but a broom. He said he swept right on over there to where the lion was at. He took that broom and kind of gooched the lion right there. Said the lion got up, growled a little bit, and walked to the other side of the cage. He kept on cleaning up. He said, man, he said, that thing must be tame. He said, no, that lion ain't tame. He said, well, how in the world could you do that to him? Oh, that lion's old. Said, he done lost all his teeth. He can't hurt nobody. That's exactly what Satan is. Oh, he's... What did the Bible tell us? Satan as a lion, roaring lion. It never says he bites us.
No, it don't.
You know why? Because Jesus pulled his teeth.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of y'all fighting and losing sleep over an enemy that cannot destroy you. You got the blood of Jesus on you. You got the Holy Ghost on you. He can't do nothing against you. He can come against you. He can roar, but that's all he can do. When I stand up and claim the name of Jesus, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. You either believe the word or you don't believe the word. Amen. How many just need some help this morning to fight this battle? Matt, come back to the piano. God, we love you.